It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champy's on Baxter Street, world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We are here. My name is Rod DeBulsey. We'll be here for the next hour. I'm joined by Jake Roos, a recruiting guru. You probably don't recognize him with a shave and a haircut. We finally got tired of him looking like the guy in who's the caddy?
The caddy in Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore, yeah. So when he started getting asked for autographs, you know, we had to shave him and get him cleaned up a little bit. Of course, you all know Coach Donnan. That's the reason everyone's tuned in here to 11 Live is to catch Coach Donnan. He has a lot of knowledge that he can – the great thing about Coach Donnan is he can distill it down so that all of us can understand it, even me. So that's impressive, Coach. When you can teach me something – That's a big deal.
It's a stretch.
So we have Coach Donnan here to answer your question.
Especially you going incognito, no hat, no glasses,
yeah.
Nothing,
oh,
man.
Yeah. I got to try to one-up my guy here who he has got a new look. I had a new look him out, new look him here.
I tell you, I got no looks left.
So all my notes, I'm going to have Dave hold them way out there because I'm in my contacts and not my glasses, so I can't see anything. We have a good show for you. We want to answer as many questions as possible, and we want you to share this as much as possible. If you share this, your name will go into a drawing for a pair of game-worn UGA logo gloves. They were worn in the Rose Bowl. I'm not going to tell you who wore them because I don't know. But we know that they were game-worn. We got them out of the locker room, and we're going to give them away. The people who shared this last week are in the drawing. The people who shared this week will be in the drawing and the next 2 weeks. So we'll go four shows. Whoever shares it goes into the drawing for the game-worn Georgia gloves. We got a few people to thank before we get started, but get your questions in now. The quicker you get your question in, the more likely it will be asked.
Recruiting, team, basketball, we'll talk anything.
Yeah, if you want to talk basketball,
tennis,
we'll talk basketball.
We got a big tennis match today, 2:30, going against the Mercer Bears.
And just before we get started, I got to give a shout-out to my man, Manny Diaz, one of the greatest coaches of Georgia history, and just a great person. You know, he's up there with the Hall of Fame coaches at Georgia. I mean, he's done so much.
And got in the Georgia Hall of Fame last year, and yeah. Coach Hack got in it this year along with Champ Bailey and Terry Moody Hancock, a great golfer here at Georgia. So there's some really good
I go back to Jack Bowerly, Suzanne Yocklin, you know, Dick Copas. I mean, Pope of the just
Coach won. Wallace doing a heck of a job.
God, yeah, just, I mean –
Coach Wallace won his thousandth match here about 3 weeks ago. So a lot to look forward to this spring. Looks like baseball's picking up. But go ahead. I want to ask you real quick though on those gloves. How many shares did we have last week?
I think we're well over 50.
Well, let's get them in there. Let's share it.
Share the wealth. We hit 100 this week. So everybody share it. Just share it on your Facebook page. While you're on that Facebook page, give a little thumbs up. Hit the like symbol for 11 Live Sports. That's all they're asking. You know, they're having Coach Donnan on to answer your questions. That's not a big ask on their part. And also, they do a wonderful job. They broke the story on the Tucker girls basketball team being out of the tournament.
Yeah.
And
that's what you call recruiting there.
Yeah, exactly. And so 11 Live Sports does a wonderful job. Be sure to follow them on Facebook and
Twitter. Ever talked to Grayson's football team?
Well, that story's already been done a couple times, Coach. But, yes, they covered that extensively. I want to thank, of course, Champy's Fried Chicken. We have something here that you need to check out. They have a special every day during the week, Monday through Friday, and they have a sandwich of the day. And what we have in front of us, and they did this the other day, and I don't think it made it to the end of the show, but on their Texas toast, they have a patty melt, a chicken melt, and a catfish sandwich. So you come in, they have a special that day, get it. I know that catfish sandwich, Coach Donnan got that one. I had the patty melt the other day. That was phenomenal. Jake's a vegan, so he doesn't get any of this. So he's not. But so swing by and pick up one of the sandwiches. They are great. I want to thank Athens Ford. Athens Ford is our biggest sponsor.
They got some new deals, Eric. You want to read for us?
They do. We actually had a customer, Sikkim Dogs, who's been around since like 1998 on the dog mint. He swung out there recently and picked up a new Ford F-150.
Wow.
So he got the great deal. And like I said, what
today's
the
guy's name, Sick'em Dog?
Sick'em Dog on the board.
27th.
I'm not going to give you his real name. Everybody will be asking to borrow his truck.
They got names for
people handles. Everybody has handles on the board. Some people go by their name. Some people go by
– What's the best one?
Bobo's Cankles.
Yeah, that one's pretty good.
What was it?
Bobo's Cankles. See, I told you it's a good one. Bobo's, and they have some of the names are absolutely hilarious, but and he's actually a good poster. He's been on there a lot. The funny thing is, about 90% of our subscribers never talk on the message board.
And so we have, they just like to read everybody
else.
They
like to read it. So that's right. We have thousands of people discussing the dogs, talking about it, but then we have, you know, there are tens of thousands who never say a word, but they just read it all.
So in a heated moment, how many people would actually be on there as a really big deal?
7,000 to 10,000.
Wow.
Yeah, loose to Georgia Tech or Florida or Tennessee.
Boy, they come out.
We broke the bank.
They all come out.
When I was there then, they had
what?
it was a couple times there.
Yeah, they had your number a couple times. But that the last second loss to Tennessee 2 years ago on that Hail Mary,
ooh,
that board was hopping, and it wasn't in a good way. But then, you know, on a day like signing day, I mean, we have tens of thousands of people popping in and out all day long. So
I don't blame them. All the info Big Jake puts out there, and you guys down in Mobile last week. Is that where you got your haircut?
No, actually, I got my haircut before I left town last week. I did that.
He couldn't go long-haired into Mobile.
No, I did that Rivals Camp in Orlando, and I'll tell you what, I'd forgotten how hot it can be outside, and especially when you got the long hair.
We
got
to talk about these sponsors, but I'll give you a quick story about Mobile. When right after I got coaching, they gave me a contribution to football award there at the GMAC Bowl, and I don't know if you know it or not, but they say that they're that they have Mardi Gras there, you know.
Oh yes.
And before even New Orleans, I don't know, but anyhow, they had this big parade, and everybody that was involved with the game had a float, and they were or riding in a car or something, but for some reason my car didn't show up, which I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. But anyhow, Mike Godfrey was in charge. So he said, I want you and Mary to ride in this other car. And on the side of it, the guy's name was Walter Williams. So I was riding in Walter's car. And the symbolism of that was the name of the high school that I went to in Burlington, Walter Williams High School. But anyhow, I'm riding down through there. They didn't know me from a jar of Vicks. They were saying, hey, Walter. Hey, Walter. How you doing, Walter? So I was waving, throwing the beads out. It was pretty cool. So that was my trip to Mobile for Walter Williams.
Well, that's his new name for the rest of the show. Yeah. Coach Williams down there. Speaking of Athens Ford, like I said, we had Sick'em Dogs went out there, bought a truck. If you go out to Athens Ford, it's the best place to get a new or used vehicle for the next 2 days. These February deals are insane. So swing out there on a 2018 Ford Explorer. You can get $7,500 off. Or you can lease one for $399 with, you know, if you qualify, which most people should. You can get a 2018 Ford F-150, which I was just discussing there. $13,000 off a Ford F-150.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I said. on the 2018 Ford Fusion, Ford Focus, that is now, you can get one for $14,120.
Wow. Ooh, that's awesome.
So, I know. That's what I said. And then the Ford Fusion, I just mentioned that one, $7,000 off one of those. 0% APR, 72 months for qualified buyers.
Tell them Roddy sent you.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell them that we did it because we want those guys
to know.
They
do love that.
Yeah. And, you know, they might give you a free Coke or something.
We will if you'll come here and let us know
they
you did.
They took care of Sick'em out there.
They did. At a 2018 Ford Escape special price, $18,345. So under $20,000 for a Ford Escape, under $15,000 for a Ford Focus. You should jump in on those. After you've bought yours, and somebody talked about this, they said after you buy your vehicle out there, you need to swing by Europie and pick up a pizza or a sandwich. They do have their paninis. Europie, we're getting closer and closer. We're getting out of March. We're going to get into out of February. As we get into March, March 14th comes up, and I know that Drew French just took a couple days off to get ready for Pi Day, 3.14, March 14th. It's Pi Day. You can go to any Your Pie and get a pizza for $3.14.
They're close to 50 franchises.
Over 50 now, yeah.
Wow.
And like I said, Bob Rosato, one of my good buddies from the photography world, he actually owns two of them now.
Wow.
I told you, what if I ever get out of this business, yeah, I'm sure going to get a Europe Eye. He's done it twice. He's over there printing money. I need to borrow some money from Bob.
Where's he having his?
I think Alpharetta. They're around Atlanta, so I need to go in there and ask for the Bob Rosato special. But if you get a chance, swing by Europe Eye. It is the best pizza you will get. I guarantee it. If you don't like it, I'll give you your money back that you paid for the show.
Yeah, right.
Not for the pizza. Shout out to 365 Game Day. If you need your Georgia gear, if you want, you know, the Rose Bowl logo stuff that's better than what was actually out there in Pasadena. If you want your SEC championship, your national championship game T-shirts and all that stuff, you can get that at 365 Game Day. Close to 100,000 people have joined their Facebook site. So just a heads up that 365 Game Day, they're really blowing up. And because they're a part of a conglomerate that does it for Alabama, FSU, and a bunch of other schools, they have great prices. So swing by there. And, of course, we want to shout out to Cable East. Cable East, Robert Wall out in Statham. Thanks, Robert. We appreciate you being a big sponsor of our show. And we do have a new sponsor that may be coming on, maybe not, but we want to shout out to them because they are here in Athens. And this is a guy who's been a member of our board for a long time. I met with them last week. They opened up Academia Brewing Company. Now, there's actually a brew pub in town. It's over there by the mall. You'll see their bus next to that racetrack gas station. They're behind the racetrack next to the mall. And they dropped off these. Okay, and so we have their Hunker Down Brown. I was out there. I had their ESP.
I had some people that told me about it, too. Unbeknownst to you, I'd heard the same thing. There's some local people doing a really good job with it. And support your local businesses.
Exactly. I had their Mediterranean plate out there. Like pork kebabs and pita slices and with a drizzle on it. It was phenomenal. And the beer was great. I had a mead out there, a honey
mead. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know they were doing mead.
They're doing it in conjunction with somebody else who's brewing it. But they have six of these huge, like, 50-gallon tanks out there. So they're constantly changing them over.
Absolutely.
So at any one point in a while, they'll have 12 different ones you can get. You go back in the next week, there'll be something different. So
and this
they
is,
are
speed. If you're only going to have one beer, I recommend making it this size beer.
Exactly.
So
you know, one thing I would suggest that we could probably do on this board every year is have the Roddies, the RADIS, and just go around and let you give the best pizza, the best chicken, the key lime, the best beer. Yeah, I mean, this guy, like I said, he could have the Chew show, but yeah. Every time when you – I mean, people don't really get the real vibes when he's talking about something over. He's just coming over here about how good it tastes to him when you're talking about it. So that Mediterranean was good,
Oh, my God, it was phenomenal. And I know some people say, well, you eat pork? Yeah, absolutely. And it was these little pork kebabs, if you will, that they grilled, and they were phenomenal. So I recommend trying that when you get out there. The burgers I had out there, Amy had one. She loved it. Josh from Champions, he was actually out there checking them out too. He had the same thing I did. And I had the same thing he did when I saw it. When they saw it plated, I'm like, I want that. So if you get a chance, swing by Academia, check out another. It's a Georgia fan. It's a guy that created the whole thing. So my point is, even if you don't swing by here, you know, you're on that side of town, swing by and check out the beer, see what you think. So big shout-out to Academia. Anyway, we're going to jump right into recruiting and any of your questions. I'm sure
we got a few stacking up already.
You were in Mobile this past weekend, part of the Rivals camp. Now, remember, Rivals is the only company that puts on these camps all over the – excuse me, only recruiting news service that puts on its own camps. Now, a lot of people will cover – the Nike camp or the Under Armour camp, but we actually do our own, and we cover those as well.
We do.
But point being, we have our own camp. We invite our guys out there, and you saw a couple guys. But before we get into the Mobile, one of the guys we spoke about last week, Derek Rambo Hunter.
Yep.
We mentioned him extensively on the show. Then you started talking to him. He has said some things about Georgia that I think is worth noting. This is a Rivals 250 defensive end.
Actually, he's a Rivals 100.
Excuse me, Rivals 100.
Yeah, he's one of the top 100 players in the nation.
Top 100 players.
Be careful what you say around this.
Well, that's why I hired him, because I don't know what I'm talking about. So,
well, tell us about what's happening in Rambo.
So just a quick refresher for those of you who weren't watching last week. 6 foot
Shame
six, 285 pounds on this kid. Doesn't move like he's that large either, but some great quicks about him. One of the guys who I think is going to be Just one of the most highly sought after defensive linemen in the nation. Already is. Florida's in there. He was visiting them this past weekend. Florida State's in. Louisville, Miami, Michigan. Anybody you can think of, pretty much they've gotten in on this guy. However, Georgia, a really interesting situation with the Bulldogs. And we mentioned last week that he'd picked up the offer, seemed very excited about it. I mentioned that his father spoke with Trey Scott, said how excited he was and how much it meant to him to be able to talk to the Georgia coach. This kid basically went on a Twitter spree, and said made a great decision. He deleted that one later, but his profile says attack the day. He's got the dog in it.
I think his profile for a while there said Georgia commit.
Yeah, yeah. And
And then after his Florida visit,
he catches up with Inside the Gators, which is our Florida affiliate, talked to Mark Wheeler, and basically said, yeah, you know, I had a great time in Gainesville. It's awesome. Georgia's at the top of my list. Like, it was that cut and dry, no doubt about it.
And he said, everybody knows I'm a dog, D-A-W-G, and dogs want to play with dogs.
Yep.
I'm like, and he goes, and keeps talking about, there's this one school that I really like, and I mean.
Now, he has maintained that he doesn't want to publicly do anything until the Under Armour game or the Army All-American game, whichever thing he ends up playing in, and I bet you he gets into one of them for sure.
Good Lord, that's a long time.
But, yeah, exactly. But he says, I've got my mind set on where I want to go. There's really just one school. Everyone knows I'm a dog, and dogs want to play with dogs. He said, they've been doing nothing. They've been doing what no one else has been. It's an everyday process. They show me love every day. They let me know I'm their top priority. I believe UGA is a place I can separate myself from everything and concentrate on academics and football.
Now, the crazy thing is he's speaking to a Florida reporter.
Yes.
And he's in the first half of the story is about how much he enjoyed his visit to Florida. But then when they ask him, like, well, where do you stand? He just raves about Georgia. The reason we bring that up, you know, Georgia's 2019 class, pretty impressive. An area of need, defensive line talent.
Absolutely. It's a must get. And this guy would be such a huge addition.
Yeah.
A similar size, I guess. Definitely lighter than Jordan Davis, who you brought in last year. Mm-hmm. But physically, about that tall. Carries his weight. I think just not as thick overall as Davis. But that allows him to move a little bit swifter.
How about a man, you're breaking out that kid from Riverdale over there and all those scholarships he's got.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. No, that's my guy, Forrest Park.
Hey,
that's
Forrest Park.
Yeah. But then Riverdale's tearing it up, too.
Yeah, but one from Forrest Park, what's he got, 20 offers now?
I believe he is at about 25 now, yeah, Justin.
That's why you got to listen to the show. This guy knew about him before even some of our coaches.
And, it was before
impressive.
His parents did.
Yeah, it was.
Before his parents, yeah.
Yeah, it was It was.
It's like that guy that used to go to the guy that had a lot of wives. He used to go to the over to St. Mary's there when the new babies were born, get his next wife, you know. But
so
he's you're getting them early, man.
A boy could be definitely a guy I think is going to be a Georgia lean throughout the line. I think that he's a guy that definitely you need to keep on your radar. I've mentioned him a lot.
Good looking kid on the tape, too.
Man,
he can
absolutely.
Really
absolutely. You just don't find a lot of kids built like that move like that.
He just picked up his 25th offer because I said this kid went from 0 to 25 offers faster than just about anybody I've seen. Actually, you know who he reminded me of in that class that blew up so quickly was Dominic Blaylock. Remember in that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
He's like an 8th grader, hasn't even entered school. And then in a week had 10 offers or something. And then, of course
– the difference being this kid was heading into – I mean, he's a rising senior and was just kind of off the radar for a lot of schools. I do remember Mississippi State was the one big one that was in there early.
Yeah.
I tell you what, how about those two receivers really, though?
Oh, Hazelwood and Blaylock? Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's – in my opinion, maybe – the two most important guys to keep committed for this class because of how special they are.
Well, they're tight with Justin, aren't they?
They are. They very much are.
You know what Coach Bill Dooley used to say when we talk about recruits like that? He said, we get them, we're going to cut their ass like Bordenhouse pie. Hey, we will, man. They can cut them.
So I was in Mobile. I was in Mobile this past weekend. Had a chance to talk with some of the top guys in the nation. Several visitors who had been on campus. Ladarius Cox out of McGill-Tulane down there in Mobile. Sheldon Lehman, a quarterback out of McGill-Tulane as well.
Are we offering him?
No, but he's. I'll tell you what. He is ready for it when it comes. He is. He feels like he's got a shot to get it. I think. You know, he's the reality of the situation. I think this year is you may not get another five-star quarterback. I don't know if you're going to continue the fourth year in a row.
But realistically, though, I want to ask this question as somebody on the board.
Sure.
18 class, you know, in the books, 19. Really, the 2020 class presents a few more quarterbacks.
Oh, absolutely.
When you look at Johnson and the kid from over at Marietta and like that.
It stacks up much better in 2020. So, you know, Georgia, I know, wants to add some depth. I mean, it's important for him to get another scholarship guy this year. So I think a guy like Lehman, you know, keep your eye on him. I think that he's the level of player that they're going to be shooting for. Not to say that they can't reel in another five-star.
And you also had a kid on there that I read named Jefferson. Was that right?
Yeah, KJ Jefferson. Definitely a guy to watch out of North Panola High School in Mississippi. Had a chance to watch him. Was really impressed. Go watch his tape if you want to watch something very interesting, because this kid is a
scoring machine,
true dual threat. I mean, absolutely, just pulls it down and takes off.
Well, let's talk some numbers here, real quick.
Is he hard to stop, man?
Over 1,300 yards rushing.
Yep.
Over 3,000 yards passing.
30 plus touchdowns.
More than that.
In the air, I think. Oh, yeah. Now on the ground, I think he had another maybe 15 to 20.
Yeah. So according to Chet Simmons, he had a total of 50 touchdowns.
Where's Panola?
I don't know that. I don't know where Panola, Mississippi is.
Our Mississippi geography is severely lacking.
It's right outside of Oxford.
There you go.
Uh-oh.
That'll be interesting. That thing just got about 10 times more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you need a guy like that who can come on, and you need the depth. A
outside of Oxford?
Mm-hmm. Sure, that should be fun.
Has he got a rental car yet?
He's Jefferson, though, one of the big things that he mentioned that coaches talked to him, he was also in town this past weekend, was his decision making. You're talking about three interceptions all season to go along with those numbers.
That's
and he
awesome.
Said, you know, now, and he's not the most accurate guy I've ever seen, but I had a chance to watch him on Sunday. He's not a guy either who's going to put the ball necessarily in a spot where a defender could pick it off. You know, he may not be able to hit the receiver, but he's not throwing it near anybody.
The thing about it, when a guy can move like that, he just presents so many problems to the defense that they have to worry so much about him running that you get a lot of one-on-one situations. So you avoid those double coverage, you avoid the linebackers underneath, you avoid the jack getting going out there and collision him and stuff like that. So, but how tall is that kid?
He's about 6'3". A really good sized kid, looks great on the hoof. A great frame already. So
that's pretty good.
Definitely a guy to watch. I know Georgia's going to stay on him hard. Several other schools, Mississippi State is really pouring in there as well.
I think if you get him, you bring in a second dual threat guy. You have Stetson Bennett, you know, as your kind of pro series guy. So, and you need four quarterbacks to run practice.
Yep.
Of course, they've got some extras out there to really help out. You know,
we got a good walk-on coming in this year, a preferred walk-on kid.
Out of Alpharetta, I believe.
The tape on him. Good-looking kid.
Another guy who's, you know, you just wonder if he's like 2 inches taller, how many offers will that guy pick
up? Sure.
Who's so that?
Your kid from Alpharetta. I think he's like 5'10". I can't remember.
I tell you one thing. I can't wait to see old Stetson Bennett in the spring game. I mean,
oh, the G Day game. Yes,
he's a player.
He's gonna. Yeah, I think he could get out there and make a few throws that'll get some people going, man.
I mean, everybody, the natural deals, you know, be talking about Jake and Justin, but this kid gives you really
don't sleep on.
He's scholarship worthy player in my opinion. I mean, he had some offers to smaller schools. I actually talked to Tyson Summers over there during the bowl prep, and who was the coach at Georgia Southern, and he said we really wanted him badly there. You know, we offered him, and he said they really studied because you know they were a three back offense, but you know they were really excited about the way he could throw the ball and you know enhance that. So now Tyson's here coaching, so he's glad he's here.
I bet.
It's funny how things like that work out. I remember when there was a defensive kid. I think it was Montrevious Adams who spurned Georgia. wasn't too excited about playing for Rodney Garner. Then Rodney Garner, he went to Auburn. Then Rodney Garner, like 5 days later, was at Auburn to be the defensive line.
Yeah, that worked out all right.
Well,
huh?
There you go. So you, like, never Rodney, know you missed him here, but you got him there. So good.
Well, Troy Aikman didn't go. One of the things when he was recruited, I was at Missouri then, but he went to Oklahoma. In between Oklahoma and Missouri and Oklahoma State, but he and Jimmy Johnson didn't really get along that great. And then when he had a chance to transfer, he didn't go to Miami for the same reason. Then he ended up going to Dallas as the first pick. But he and Jimmy really developed a good relationship after that. You just never know. You when you only get to meet the head coach one time, it's hard to know. But
it's just funny how the recruiting – with the coaching carousel and some guys moving around what schools are going to go to, sometimes you wind up coaching a guy you missed out on. So
right, and you look like the guy like Pruitt was recruiting these guys for Alabama, and then Shear was recruiting them for Georgia, and then all of a sudden they go up to Tennessee, and maybe some guys that they lost to Tennessee, which weren't a lot, but, you know, whoever it might be, now all of a sudden you're the coach. So you never know about stuff like
I got some scoop here I can give you.
But
guys,
I can also tell you about Kirby on Alvin Kamara. I mean, you know, he worked his butt off to get him. I remember Bobo and those guys were fighting over and talking about it. And the kid, you know, I remember that game he played on TV in high school. I mean, just unbelievable. Oh, yeah. And he goes to Alabama and then, you know, can't get on the field, goes to JUCO and then ends up at Tennessee. And
he doesn't get on the field.
Then he comes up here and plays, you know, against Kirby when they beat us here. But it's just what you always want to do is have a good relationship with the kid. And if you lose them, you lose them. You know,
don't burn a bridge. You never know what's going to happen.
What was the scoop there? I mean, when you throw stuff like that, it makes me.
You mentioned a guy that I don't know. I should probably hold this for a 3-2-1, but we'll dump it here. You know who really wanted to come to Georgia during Kirby's first week on the road recruiting? Who almost came to Georgia?
When he first got here?
When he first got here. So go back, was that three recruiting classes?
Yeah, that was the start of, that was 15.
2015 class.
Or no, I'm sorry, it was the start of the 16 class. Yeah. It was the,
Well, so he was trying to bring in, you know, Eason and Lynch.
Nicole and Cleveland and,
One guy that wanted to come here, but whose family vetoed it at Tennessee, Nigel Warrior.
Really?
Yeah. Nigel almost came to Georgia. I don't know if anybody knows that story.
We had a good relationship with Kirby at Alabama.
Great one with Mel Tucker as well. I really thought that was going to be the thing that moved the needle for him.
And from what I understand, he reached out to Kirby, said, I really, really want to come there, but I can't, you know. And I think he was quite upset about it. So I'll write up in one of our 3-2-1s. It's where we do three observations, two questions, and one prediction. We'll give you some stuff in that.
When's that due?
We'll put it out this week.
All right, we got some questions rolling in. Definitely want to hop on some of these. Maurice Carter says, hey, guys, last week one of you said Kirby went up to Huntington, West Virginia to see a 5-star DL. Just wanted to know what the recruit's name was. I believe it was the offensive lineman.
Starnell Walker. He's an offensive lineman. He plays a little D-line, too. And he saw the kid at Spring Valley, Doug. I gave you his last name last week.
Oh, Doug Nestor.
Doug Nestor.
Yes, that's right.
So, and then he went over to Louisa, Kentucky, and saw a defensive end. I don't know what that kid's name is.
Brandon Smith, I believe, if I'm thinking right off.
It's all within the, you know, contiguous area with Huntington and Kentucky right there. And he was able to go in that airport and hit those three schools. But one of the few things that I've ever had privy to was because a guy that played for me, Aaron Ferguson, is a line coach for Kirby. I mean, for Kirby, he'd like to be. He's a line coach for Doug Nestor, and he said Kirby was coming up there, so I texted Kirby, and he got to meet Aaron, and it was a good trip for him. I don't know if Coach Pittman went too, but that's pretty impressive that you coached from Georgia. But really, the day before, Penn State was in there, and then the next day, Ohio State was in for all of those kids. So it was a pretty big lick for Huntington for those guys being in there.
We got another good one here that rolled in from Jarvis Hanna. This is, you know, way too early predictions, but hey, we're in the business of doing that. He says, "Who do you guys think will be the be a big impact for the wide receiver position on the other side of Terry Godwin this upcoming season?"
Mecole Hardman. I think he's going to be in the slot, but he's going to use him as a flanker. But look at guys, how many guys scored 2 touchdowns in the national championship game the rest of their life?
Yeah, right.
I mean, seriously.
Absolutely.
And they found a lot of good ways to use him and really didn't use him. near as many ways as they practice him with the jet sweeps, the stuff that in the Wildcat. You know, there's a lot of things you can use there. And then, you know, we're going to have to get a big guy on the edge that can catch the balls that we had last year. You know,
breakout guy, Riley Ridley.
Well, he's
that's who I picked last year. And then he missed the first season and first game, you know, because he's suspended.
He beat his brother up pretty bad in that game.
And then Javon Weems came on and just said, no, well, hey, thanks for keeping, you know, you gave me a spot. And Javon took off, you know.
Well, here's what happens. And philosophically, that's one reason I'm on the show, to give you a little coaching perspective. But some guys, takes a little bit longer for them to develop or, you know, just need the opportunity. But they really have the ability. They just don't branch out until later, you know, and I can go over so many of them that have played for me. But I just think if you look at the evolution of our offense, it's gotten so much better with our pass protection, with the better linemen, and also maybe we might be a little more tight end oriented next year with a you know, really unbelievable number of tight ends. But it also, when you have tight ends opening up, like you look in the pros and you see those guys, then that helps the wide receivers because you can't double cover as much because the safeties have to help. So I think our receivers just overall benefited from a lot of good coaching there from our entire staff. And now we bring in a new guy that has some pro experience in Hankton, who Roddy broke on his website there. So I think they're really excited about him bringing in some new ideas too. And that's what's always good when you get a new coach. You can talk about, well, how did you guys – like I'm sure Tucker is talking to him. What was your thoughts about our guys when you played us at Vandy? What did you try to do? The same thing with Coach Fountain when he came in here from Auburn. Hey, what were some of the things you were looking at against our defense? And special teams, what were some things that were keys for you? And that's part of the deal when coaches change. I mean, you find out some things that maybe look at the scouting report and see what it said, how people approach your own players.
I'm going to go with, if I'm picking one of the receivers to break out, I got two, obviously. It's one of the big guys. I think it's either Holloman or Landers. I think that Matt Landers has a real good chance.
And Webb would have been.
Webb,
he's
a
breakout guy on defense, but I like Holloman too.
You're both wrong. Kearse Jackson.
Boy, go watch that video of him squatting.
24,000 views.
Well, it's not a weightlifting contest out there.
I know.
But anybody can squat 405. That's impressive.
Five times.
And he's about 200 pounds. So, yeah.
So here's the guy. Remember, we've talked about Kearse Jackson numerous times because, A, he plays both ways, was huge out of Peach County, tough as nails, lay a lick on you, but just a true great athlete. He would win the shot put at the state track meet. So he's out there, like you said, 195,
very explosive guy. He'll help on the blocking on the perimeter. And the other thing is just being here all this time, all the times that he gets to go over there and work out with those kids. You know, they can't have any supervised workouts right now as far as throwing the ball, but these kids, that's where you got a leader like Fromm. He's taking those 7-on-7
kids. You got Coach Fromm out there working.
They're out there showing them what to do. And then you got a guy like Terry Godwin, who's a workout warrior too. I mean, he's done a really good job in off-season program, and he sees this chance for him to go to the next level, and he keeps working at it. And so you can teach a guy a lot there that maybe he wouldn't learn. I mean, you just put yourself – if he's down there running track right now and getting ready for graduating and going to the prom and all that, as compared to going here every day, lifting weights, getting tutoring, learning the system, meeting. That's another good rule that they passed. You know, it used to be you couldn't talk to the kids except during spring practice. But now you can have a 30, 45-minute meeting with them, which helps you because it's a mental thing too.
Yeah, I think it's 8 hours now a week or something where, you know.
Right. None of it's with the ball. But
But there's, you can have meetings and such. You can talk about things, find out how they're doing in their classes, find out how the workouts are going. And the only reason I bring up Kearse Jackson, like I said, you know, a guy up there, 200 pounds, beating out 350-pound shot putters. Not even a big wide receiver. There's a slot guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he's winning your shot put competition at the state level. That's pretty impressive. He's explosive. And they put up a video the other day of him squatting 405 pounds. He did five reps. And all the guys around him are jumping up and down. And to your point, Coach, yeah, that's not that doesn't mean he's going to catch passes any better. He is explosive, and it'll help him on the blocking. But there were 13 to 14 teammates jumping up and down around him, cheering him on. Talk about that camaraderie, the attitude, the morale in the weight room. Now he's part of the team. You know, right. He's coming in and making his bones.
You get some acceptance pretty quickly,
exactly,
by your performance, not so much how you talk. You know, yeah. These kids.
He did it grinning the whole time.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, Kiaris. Hey, he can talk with the best of them, but man, when the lights come on, that kid gets on the field. He's going to be a tough matchup for guys because when you think about those slot guys, you think about, the Isaiah McKenzie's and even a guy like Terry Godwin. They're on the thinner side of things. Kiaris is a thick-bodied receiver to be his size,
right.
And he is a physical guy when that ball's in the air. He will
get
up there and wrestle it from
you. I liked about him, too, from day all the stuff I read that you did. You did a terrific job down there. With the parade, with your camera and everything.
But that was a fun one.
The guy really wanted to come to Georgia. I'm telling you, there all of these guys at some point are going to sign with somebody. But, there's something about a guy, you could tell how important it was. It's kind of a lifelong dream for him. And those guys sometimes turn out even better than you'd think because, if you've been laying in your bed for a long time, and thinking about, boy, it's going to be great to be up there at Athens between the hedges. And then all of a sudden, now you're in that reality pill and you got a chance to do it. And you say, hey, it's up to me now. I'm here. I got to do something about it. And he looks around. He sees all this competition. So he's got to get it humming too because it's not exactly like he's going against the same kind of competition.
Well, give me kids out of Peach County any day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Liberty County too. There's certain I'll take my Buford kids. I'll take my kids out of Gwinnett. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying there's some of those South Georgia boys are just mean. So,
all right, let's see. We'll hop on to the next one. Chuck Ward here with a recruiting question. He says, if Morris Miller, this Wanya Morris, Harry Miller, Derek McClendon, Darnell Wright, and Clay Webb want to come, who do we turn down on the offensive line?
Is Clay Webb a senior this year? Or he's got one more year.
No, he's a 2019. He's a senior. Yeah, the center. I tell you what, you do not turn him away.
Yeah, take him over tip first.
I would take him over just about anybody, just because he is the best pure center I've ever seen.
Hard to get one.
Yeah, exactly. And a real rarity.
A lot of times
in
high school, the best lineman they play at tackle, and let's get a guy in there that's serviceable at center to get the ball back and all and make the calls, but.
Give me him with the Jamari Sawyer beside him. Yeah. And Andrew Thomas out on the edge.
Tell everybody where he's from and everything, just in case. Clay Webb.
Clay Webb's from Oxford, Alabama, Oxford High School. KJ Britt went there, who Georgia recruited very heavily. Obviously, Auburn and Alabama going to be considered the longtime front
runners.
You're
not getting him, but.
I agree.
but you'd want him.
In my opinion, I think of that group, if you had your choices, I think you take McClendon because I think he's a swing guy. I think he's a guy who can play any of the three positions. He can be a guard. He can be a tackle. He could probably play center too. So I do like guys with that kind of versatility that can Swiss Army knife it. Darnell Wright, easy pick for him. Number one.
He's 6'8", isn't he?
And he's the number one offensive tackle in the nation. And then outside of that, Morris or Miller, I know you're going to go with Harry Miller.
I like Harry Miller. Don't get me wrong. I like one
three
year more.
This year, you think?
I think three probably is –
He's
about
got 17
the
max. On roster now,
right.
I believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and lose a couple next year, but he can't. We'll always have a big group of not only big players, but a larger group of linemen.
How many did you want to have out of your 85? 15, 17?
At least 15.
So basically,
because you never know how they're going to develop. And
you
got to have scout team guys. You got to have. It's just an area that you got to have. Same thing with D-line. Who would be your – give me who you want for the D-line, number one guy.
For D-line, I think the number one guy right now is probably the Rambo Hunter kid, just because what he brings to the fold. His size is tremendous. He's got the explosiveness you want. He can get in the back and disrupt things. I think he's the guy that they're leaning on heaviest right now. Outside of that, you got a lot of defensive tackles that are in the mix for this thing. Joshua Harris, who we talked about this past weekend, visited.
We had an update today.
We've got an update on him. Derek Green, who we just put, put an update on from Adam Friedman. Has a visit planned to Georgia
very
soon.
Where is he from?
I believe he's also from North Carolina.
Tell me that town. Maybe I got somebody. guy asked me one time.
You know, Aboygabee's going to be in the mix there. The Ladarius Cox kid who we talked about from McGill-Tulin visited this past weekend. He's got an offer, really likes what Georgia has to offer. Like I said, I think Rambo Hunter, probably the top of the wish list. Outside of that, though, you've got a lot of really, really strong options, and I think that that's huge in a year where they really need it.
Exactly. Good.
What about his
– give us some more questions.
Cardell, who's that? The offense or defense?
Cardell?
Yeah.
Cardell is offense. And Cardell Thomas, we spoke to him this past weekend in Mobile. Definitely one of the top guys in this class. A five-star already, is going to go wire to wire as a five-star, in my opinion. I think it would have been really interesting to see if he and Jamari Salyer had been in the same class. Who would win it out?
Real quick, we'll interrupt you.
Yeah.
Five-star. So who makes that connotation for Rivals at this point? A guy's a junior in high school. They've come out with their top 100, their 250. Who makes the – how many different guys rate these guys to say that this guy's a five-star, he's a four-star?
We've got a team of about eight.
About 11.
8 to 11 people, yeah. And then they also solicit input from all of the guys around the nation, all of the team site guys as well. So it's – it's an army of many, I think, who really go into it.
And it goes up.
So you feel pretty good about it?
Yeah, I think it's. I think it's very solid. I think that you know, that they take the stuff from us into account very seriously.
See, I don't like it now, personally. I don't like talking about a kid who just finished his junior year. He's still got a senior year to go. He's got all this spring, you know, all the summer workouts, and he's got a senior season. But we're doing it for stuff, you know, guys even younger than that. We're talking kids who've just played 2 years of high school football.
Tough.
And we're ranking them.
Tough.
But that's what the market wants. People want the rankings. Now, what I tell our listeners and our readers is, and I know it's the wrong thing to say about my industry, but don't pay attention until the very end, the weeks right before signing day. That's when we put out our final ranking, because you'll see guys go up and down. Because we're basing it sometimes having seen them in one camp or – well, one camp and their huddle film. We always look at their huddle film. And you're trying to get the whole game, not just the highlights. You know, you want to see what plays they took off and what plays they got beat on. So you're watching their whole film. Hopefully you see them in a camp experience. But by the time a guy like Cardell, we saw him last year. We've seen him this year. We'll see him again at the Rivals 5-star camp. We'll see his senior film. We'll see him in an All-American game. By the time we've seen a kid 7, 8, 9, 10 times in person, our assessment of him is a lot better than when we've seen
Absolutely.
Him once.
Well, how about do they take into account the offers that they have?
No.
No, that doesn't matter.
But you try to take in
So, I mean, all of a sudden you got a guy rated 3-star, and he's got an offer from Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia – and Penn State.
Now, what I
does
will
that
say,
make them think a little bit? Hey, what are these guys recruiting this guy for?
Now that I do think it definitely.
And sometimes
happens.
We say, "Hey, the schools are wrong."
Yeah,
you know,
we have done that.
Holy!
And sometimes we say we're wrong.
Hey, Urban, you got to get on the stick. Kirby, what's wrong with you? This guy's a 3-star. Why are we taking him? Hey, James Franklin, what are you doing up there?
Are you on crack up there? But sometimes, you know, and sometimes we may know something they don't. I doubt it, but you know. It's all opinion based, and lots of times you'll be hard pressed to find a kid that has
I just saw
offers from Ohio State and Georgia who's a 2-star, because what'll happen as we see him more and more, it'll be like, oh, so that's why they got him. And a lot of it's based on potential. Some of these
that's good, but
some of these guys are offered at 6'8", 330 pounds who can't play a lick.
I would just say the recruiting people out there that are on our site that read and listen to everything, don't be too quick to judge a guy just because he's a 3-star.
Absolutely.
Or, hey, why are we after him? Because, you know, obviously these guys know what they're doing. Just for instance, I read a deal this morning. Bruce Feldman was talking about the 10 freaks that are going out there supposedly going to test real good. You know, like Chris Conley did a 45-inch vertical jump. But there's a kid from Boise State that was a 0-star walk-on, Van Cleese or something like that. And it's a defensive end linebacker type guy that's just going to go off the charts. But he was a quarterback in high school, and now he's a defensive lineman, defensive end. And you just never know how guys like that are going to develop, you know.
Well, I mean, a lot of people.
But there's not a lot of those sleepers, though.
Well, that's the thing. You know, a lot of people will point to a guy who goes in the draft, he goes in the first round, he was a 2 or 3 star. Usually it's because no one saw him, or he changed positions, or he just blew up. But when you look at the percentage of, okay, we're looking at 3 million high school football players. And we're going to say these 32 are 5 stars. The odds of that being correct are astronomical. And then we say, okay, these 270.
I would say a lot better chance of those being correct than the ones that are 3 stars in my fan.
Right,
I would
think. And then you say that these 270 are 4 stars and this 600 are 3 stars. But when you actually look at the percentage of the 5 stars that wound up being ranked in the first or second round, the percentages are through the roof. So we're pretty
accurate. I think it's great. I just want to know the deal because, you know, we used to have a rating system where one was a reject, two has some qualities. A 2+ could be a scholarship, but he's going to have to develop. 3's a scholarship player. 4's blue chip is going to can't miss. But we had an astronomical amount of guys at 2+, you know. Yeah. Are they going to develop? I mean, that's, you know, 9th grade, 10th grade. Are they going to become a scholarship guy? If a guy's a 4 and when he's in the 10th grade, you go after him, you know, because he's a starter. And the other thing that you look at on your team, and this is where Kirby does a lot like Belichick, pro guys do, you rate your players 1 through 44. How many of them are on offense? How many of them are on defense? We need to move a guy like Webb. He's in our top. You know, let's get him over here, or vice versa. What, you know, you don't need 27 guys on defense and 15 on offense. You know, you need to branch that out where you rate them. But what you do is you constantly rate them every month. What are they doing in the weight room? How much stronger have they gotten? What's happening with their academic profile? And it's big that those 44 are the guys that are playing. If they're not, you need to find out why they're not. Are we not giving them the right kind of mental techniques to learn his position? Because a lot of guys can't take that physical ability and translate it out on the field and play that position. You know, that's where the mental training.
It's funny you say that. We have when we run our offense versus lineman in these camps, you know, when we do a one-on-one, sometimes we do a two-on-two, we, for safety's sake, we say, look, no bull rush. Don't just push a guy backwards. Show us a swim. Show us some moves.
Well, they don't have pads on.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. So we're doing that for safety's sake. But part of it is you want to see this kid do something out of his comfort zone. A lot of these guys, they come to a camp 6'6", 280 pounds, and they line up against somebody else. And they're so used to just blowing guys off the ball. We're like, no, what happens when you go up against somebody good? Show me something. And the coaches will tell them, okay, let's see you do a spin. Let's see you do a swim. Let's see you, you know, hook. All these different things. And it's funny to watch them – all world physical ability gets stumped by the technique. And that's one of the things we do at the camps. We're not just out there testing them so that we can get our rankings. We have coaches there who give them technique and teach them things, so it's good for them to come to it. Plus, they also get a chance to go to the 5-star challenge.
Yeah, for all you little league coaches or whatever you might be, two things you always need for your players after the ability type. Number one, knowledge of assignment. That means what's my assignment? How am I going to – what am I got to do? I got to block this guy or I got to cover this area or I got to run this route. So you need to know – you need to go to the line not being confused. A confused player can't play. You got to go up there with the idea you know your assignment. Number two is proper technique because the guy across you from you knows his assignment. So – if you use your technique and he uses his technique, then it's going to get to ability. But a lot of times, guy doesn't have the right technique, and a technician will outperform him because he knows his assignment and he knows his technique.
So
it's very, very important to always be a very cerebral player, even if you're not a 3.0 player in the classroom. You can be on the field. Yeah. So I always tell our coaches, hey, if we can't teach this play to our players, we don't need to be running it because it might look good and all this stuff, but if he's confused, so a confused player.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of reasons.
Somebody should have told that to Todd Grantham.
A lot of people.
I'm just saying.
Hey, but seriously, the thing that happens is you don't want to get beat also by alignment,
yeah,
by lining up the wrong place, or you don't want to be – beaten because you're confused, or you don't want to be beaten because you don't understand what to do. So that's a little philosophy from the old coach. But I do I do feel like that you can find out a lot about a guy without pads on, even though
– Well, we do at these camps. You know, you say, okay, guys, we're going to take – We got two defensive linemen, two offensive linemen. You bring the defensive guys over there, and you run some twists and stunts and stuff like that, and they can't get it. And you're like, this kid is good, but he is not coachable.
Maybe I wouldn't say that he's not. He's going to have. He might haven't received the coaching that he needs, but maybe there y'all can coach him and show him, hey, look, when they do this, you got to slide him off to the other guy. Mm-hmm. We got protection schemes. If you're not good enough to do this guy one-on-one, we can give you some help, either with this guy coming this way or this guy helping the back chipping. But, you know, there's a reason why the D linemen and the D ends make more than the O linemen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm not talking about in college. I'm talking about pro.
Well, maybe in college too.
But the point is, but that's why you have to get some guys that are capable of blocking them occasionally one-on-one, but also – there's usually not a couple more than two or three war daddies on any defensive line. If you got five of them, you can play the school song, I mean, every time. But, you know, but you got to have some guys that can slow these people down a little bit, you know. And that's where, you know, some of these guys get frustrated and can't, handle a guy on the outside edge and all that. And what was that guy's name at? Played defensive end for the Cowboys that won the Super Bowl with Cowboys and the 49ers. Haley.
Yeah.
I went to a game one time, a Switzer was coaching, and they were trying to coach old Haley over on the sidelines. Hey, we can do this. And he said, listen, coach, you call it, I'll make it happen. He said, I don't care what you call, that guy can't block me. So just leave me alone. Call it.
Interesting. Let's shift for a couple questions here as we're kind of nearing the end here. Alan Verbonic says, DeMarcus Hayes, a JUCO bust?
Too early to say.
Too early to say. But I will say it looks like he's been recruited over at this point.
You took the words out of my mouth, and that sometimes happens. You get excited about a kid coming in. A guy that's going to come back to Georgia's pro day. We broke the news. It's going to be March 21st. I found out Reggie Wilkerson, a name.
Did they
the
let
past.
You go to that?
Yes, sir.
I wasn't sure if you had the right credentials.
Yeah. I don't have the good credentials, but they'll let me in.
How close can you get to them? Can you time them?
I don't know. They won't let us that close. And we'll watch them, and you'll time it, think, but you're not right on top of it. So, but then at the end of the day,
Reggie Wilkerson's coming here.
Reggie Wilkerson's coming back. You know, he played up at Iowa State this past year, and he was a guy who came in and remember he's an early enrollee. That spring was a starter, you know, on the defense, and then towards ACL, and has had a huge fight to come back. But while he was here, you know, he stayed around. I think two, maybe three more years at Georgia. Had the injury redshirt. That was the guy who got recruited over, you know. So he looked to have all the potential in the world.
Let's see what happens this spring. You never know.
Sure. That's the thing. With DeMarcus Hayes, you don't know. I mean, he's maybe steps up. They've got an opening. You know, they're going to be – they're, again, looking to place either
he'll be in the mix.
A freshman at that right tackle spot. DeMarcus Hayes could be like, look, I've been here a year, guys. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, he's going to have an advantage over even a five-star guy just because he's been here. But, he also came in from a JUCO situation where you really don't know what kind of coaching he was getting there. Maybe it was great, maybe it's not. But he's had to adjust, and he wasn't ready to play, so they'll get him going. What else you got here?
Dre Busey says, what's Trevon Walker's future position on the DL? Trevon Walker, if you're not familiar with him, the number 40 player in the nation from Thomaston, Georgia, Upson Lee High School, home of David Marshall as well. So there's a little bit of connection there, but also – Georgia's just been in on Trevon Walker forever. I think that he's probably destined to play with a hand in the ground, probably a defensive end. I don't know that they'll bulk him up quite big enough to go inside. He's about 254 is what we got him listed at right now. I think you maybe get him up to 270.
Ledbetter?
Yeah, exactly. I think that that's a very good comparison for what you could expect from him. And I feel that way about a boy.
Good answer.
Too. Yeah, I think that he's a – so I think DN is probably going to be Walker's future position. And I really like Georgia's chances.
Although
there.
I would really like to see – I love it when Jonathan gets to stand up every now and then.
Oh, that is fun, yeah.
just going back to when he was a Tucker, he's just a monster. You'd see him pop up and look around. It's almost like a – kind of reminded me of a prairie dog going, oh, there it is. And then he'd go back down, and then he'd come flying through there. And every time he got up and look around, it's almost like he knew what the play was going to be. I felt sorry for kids trying to block
prairie dog.
Yeah, just – popping by the hole in the ground, and everyone else is down. He looks up, and he's like, oh, here's where it's going. And then he goes back down, and he'd knock through people. I do remember one game where they triple-teamed him, and he still made a tackle. That's when I'm like, that
good.
Trevon Walker's like that as well. Sean Forsyth says, has UGA offered Tyler Fromm, and if not, why? And if you have been following very closely, Tyler Fromm, the brother of Jake Fromm, obviously.
Who's Jake?
so you got Tyler, who is he's the really tall one.
Tight end.
Yeah, he's the tight end. I want to make sure I get you some accurate numbers on him. Yeah, 6'4", 215. Just a kid who has really blown up as of late. Florida, Louisville, North Carolina, South Carolina.
Just in a position that makes
USC.
It tough. You know, you never know. I mean, we just got what's the kid?
Ryland Goede, yeah.
Goede, and then you've got these two coming in.
Yeah,
I'm sure they'll give him every benefit of just to – tell him exactly how he stands here, and he sometimes it's a numbers game, but they'll definitely look at him hard. That's for sure.
I agree. I think you know, he's got the chops. He's got a great body for it. So I'm not writing him off getting the offer right now. I don't think it's going to come in the immediate. You know, because they've got several tight end offers out. Plus, they've got the commitment of Ryland Goede. How big do they want to go with that position in this class where they've already got limited spots?
Well, they got four on campus now.
Jackson Harris, Charlie, Isaac, and then you got the two coming in.
Ford. And
So that'll be five. Five. That'll be five, yeah.
Yeah, see, trying to – I mean, granted, Isaac could leave early.
Sure.
You know. What do we got next? I like these questions, man.
Let's see. Let me find a good one. Michael Cagle says, who's your starting offensive line this fall?
I think spring practice is going to be huge for some guys like Isaiah Wilson. What's going to happen with him as far as being out a year? I mean, he's certainly going to be right in there. What can Mays do? How quickly can he get in there? And then Hills had a chance to be here, and where
right.
Salyer didn't. Of course, Thomas didn't have to be here. He was ready to go. So I think fall camps is going to be so huge, even though spring's going to help the guys from last year. But you're going to have to give Salyer a really good look in the fall, how quick he can go. But the good thing about it, he'll be here June 1. He'll be meeting every day. He'll be getting out there, and he'll learn. And basically, with a guy like that, line up in Burma Road, man. Get to behind those pads in Burma Road.
He is
– You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
We can't get that on – you know, just tuck that tail short,
wait,
choppy steps with a base and destroy the guy in front of you.
No, watch that kid when he goes to pass block.
Well,
he sits down and he can
lock out, and he's you know, when just the symbolism of how he and Hill and Mays look in their uniforms typify to me what an old lineman's got. To, you know, he's
hey,
got
Warren too. Warren Erickson.
Well, of course.
He looks
and
like a
Condon's got some height, and he's
Jason
but
monster.
You know, when you look at the opportunities for Coach Pittman to. You know, mix and match. And I thought he did a terrific job last year of consistently. And you always hear Kirby in these press conferences talk about competition, and we don't know. A lot of times during the week, they base it on how they played that week, you know. And then, you know, give old Ben Cleveland a lot of credit. He hung in there all year and just kept working, and he ended up being the starter. And that's the kind of competition you're going to have there at that position. We're going to see a lot of that.
So let's say Andrew Thomas at left tackle.
Yeah.
Kendall Baker for now holding that left guard spot. Lamont Galliard at center. Ben Cleveland at right guard, and then I'm going to say Isaiah Wilson at right tackle.
That makes sense to me. I think that one of those guards, I don't know who it is, but I think one of them is going to get usurped by Salyer.
Here's the thing, though. Do you have him, Salyer, coming in, playing it? And, again, I would think that this would never happen until we saw it happen this past year. Would you bring in Salyer at right guard and have him play next to a freshman right tackle? But we saw two freshmen play side by side this year.
I think, to me,
it'd be like, hey, you know, what are we doing on this play? Just to have that kind of backup. But you're right. We saw this year, it didn't matter. You had a redshirt freshman next to a true freshman. It didn't matter at all. So shows what I know.
All right, last two here. We'll answer these real quick, and then we'll get back to our sponsors. Dre Busey says, do you think we will offer Jamie Petway? If you're not familiar with him, out of Westover High School, a guy who's really seen his recruitment pick up to a great degree as well.
As you predicted.
And I think that I do think he's got a good shot of picking up an offer from Georgia. I know that it's, you know, it's going to be a numbers game, but I do think he's a guy who could find it. And I'll tell you this, Georgia knows – because he has said it, that he'll pretty much commit on the spot. So, you know, it's a situation with him where you may be wanting to check out all your other check out your options because you know you've got.
Which sometimes slows down the offer.
Exactly. He says, Alan Verbonic says, what about Noah Cain? We had a preview of his visit coming in. He talked to us. Haven't caught up with him since he visited this weekend, but hope to do so this week. So hopefully we'll have something for you soon on Noah Cain.
Yeah, and we might actually, in that good situation, job. Have some insider information. So anyway, that's all the time we have for this week. We want to give a shout-out to Champies here on Baxter. Come by, try one of their sandwich specials. They are phenomenal. Thanks to 11 Alive for letting us be on their page. Be sure to like their sports page and their main page. All the news that you need, check it out at 11 Alive on Facebook. Big shout-out to Athens Ford. It's the 27th. Get out there today or tomorrow. Get those February deals. You can get a lease for a four-wheel drive lease for $399, a two-wheel drive lease for $369. If you qualify, it's a phenomenal deal out there. Like I said, they are just stunned that they are able to offer that. Big shout-out to EuroPie, Drew French. Get ready for Pie Day. Want to give a shout-out to Cable East, Robert Wall, and 365 Game Day for being sponsors. And, of course, a big thank you to Coach Don and shout out to Academia. When you get a chance, if you've already had your EuroPie and your
Champies,
swing by Academia. Try their beer. See what
tell them the boys sent you. Tell them
UGA Sports sent you. We'll see if we can get a deal where if you go out there next week, you get half off a beer.
That would be
How about this? If anybody's listening to this and it's not on your website, how do they sign up for to get your deal?
You can tell them about what we actually do for a living. If you want to get all the news, like I said, you know, we broke all the coaches' news. We broke a ton of recruiting stuff. There's updates every day. We normally have 5 to 6 stories. It's 27 cents a day. Just go to ugasports.com, sign up.
Good idea.
We're going to have all of the spring practices covered. We have camps left and right. That's why he drives to Mobile, Orlando.
You didn't get to fly there?
Yeah.
I ain't paying for him to fly.
Only one guy gets to fly on the staff.
That's two woods and an iron.
And we'll also be in Indianapolis this weekend. Covering
the combine.
The combine. So we will have updates on the 10. Well, actually, I don't know that we're going to catch Sanders. Well, the nine of the 10 players that are up there. Hopefully,
who all is going to be there?
Oh, my God. Lorenzo Carter.
No, Bannon. I know players. Who's going to be covering it for us?
Just me.
Yeah, he gets to fly.
You and Belichick.
Yeah, I mean,
and go to St. Elmo's.
Oh, yeah.
Take it easy on the cocktail sauce.
see, he does what's up.
The coach knows that cocktail.
Also, last thing, make sure to share this. As Roddy's mentioned, it does put you in the drawing for a pair of game-worn Rose Bowl gloves with the G on them. So definitely don't forget to share this with your friends. Guys, we appreciate you tuning in today.
Take care.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.